My dog ate my sermon. Oh. I was thinking about this parable that we're going to talk about tonight. And as I thought about it, it really comes down to no excuses. But as I thought about all the excuses that we use, I think about all the excuses I use, and I thought about how encouraging that might be or may not be. And then I thought, well, that might just be, you know, a confession for another time and an opportunity to ask for forgiveness for another time. But I thought that it would be good for us to maybe back up right before this parable and sort of catch up on the context that this parable finds itself, that Jesus tells it. So if you'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, we'll sort of do a brief rewind. And as you begin there at the beginning of chapter 14, just in the first verse, we see sort of the context of what this parable sort of is unpacked. And that's that Jesus is invited to a prominent Pharisee's house. That's the location. That's where this takes place. And he's being carefully watched. And the first thing that he does is sort of he goes back and he wants to sort of ask them if they've learned anything about healing in the Sabbath. Because what had just happened in the previous chapter, at the end of chapter 13, he kind of gave a good lesson about healing on the Sabbath with a crippled woman. And there was much sort of resistance to that. One of the comments that was made at the end, further back in chapter 13, he says, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. That was their attitude about healing on the Sabbath. So Jesus just sort of lays into them and teaches them a good lesson. And so he revisits this at a Pharisee's house. He sort of brings up discussion again. And he asks, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And it's quiet. You can hear nothing. And then he sort of goes on and he asks them, if one of you had a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath, will you not immediately pull him out? Again, silence. Nobody said anything. Because they saw what happened the last time somebody spoke up. They were pretty much humiliated. And Jesus was pretty good at, if you're not going to be on his side, that if you end up being his adversary, he humiliates you. That's sort of that verbal jousting that's part of their culture. Sort of, you know, taking you out behind the woodshed and giving you, teaching you a thing or two. I mean, that's what was happening here. And so he tests them with that. But that doesn't happen. So then Jesus sort of notices. He sees how all the guests at this banquet at the Pharisee's house, this party, how the guests are just choosing these places of honor. They're choosing for themselves where to sit. And so he then tells them this. He tells them a parable. He tells them a parable about that. And in this parable, he instructs them that they shouldn't choose for themselves where they should sit, that they should be humble and be and choose a humble place to sit. And if it's the host's choice, that he should bring them and have them sit in a place of honor. And that's much better than being seated in a place of honor and then being asked to go sit in some lowly position. So he's teaching them about that. And then thirdly, he sort of speaks to the host. And he tells the host that, you know, it's not always about repaying your friends for things your friends have done for you. And it's not about this, you know, repaying culture that the Pharisees have. I'll make you look good at my party, and then you can make me look good at your party. Sort of swapping those out. But it's not about repaying friends. But it's about having your repayment being received in heaven. It's about being blessed and being repaid at the resurrection. And then that brings us to this parable. And right before Jesus tells this parable, there's this guy who says, someone speaks up right after sort of overhearing this comment that Jesus makes about, you know, being repaid at the resurrection. And he says, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. I'll say something wise and give some great instruction. Blessed is the man who eats at the feast of the kingdom of God, the kingdom in heaven. And Jesus considers this. And then it's at this moment that he unpacks this parable. And he sort of explains it. So what is Jesus doing here? When you sort of look at all of these things together, he's sort of giving them kingdom etiquette, isn't he? I mean, they don't seem to understand what's rude and what's not rude about kingdom stuff. They got all of the worldliness. They know how to look good and to sort of present themselves in the world, and they have that. They're strutting their stuff, so to speak, in that regard. But their kingdom etiquette is horrible. They're not humble. They only invite to their parties who's going to invite them back. They're all about thinking about things that they're going to receive in this life, not in the next. Not about being receiving anything at the resurrection. So Jesus is teaching a majority of these being Pharisees, or some portion being Pharisees, about kingdom etiquette. So this passage is about, let me teach you now how to be a guest, how to be a host, and how to think about kingdom stuff. How to think right in your mind. Because your culture of your time, you've distorted it. So in verse 7, when this sort of backing up, as Jesus speaks, and he said, when he notices that the guests have picked the place of honor at the table, he then tells them this parable. And he says, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to the better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Don't take the place of honor. Be humble. Practice being humble. In verse 12, Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back so that you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. He continues there, but even there he says, you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Don't look to be repaid in earthly ways. Invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the lame, invite the blind. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Oh, that sounds familiar. That's because Jesus preached it, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 20. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where rust and moth can't destroy. And then we get to this parable of the banquet. Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God. You know who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God? Not who you think. I mean, look at the parable. Jesus says, not who you think. Not who you think is going to be there. Because all the people who were invited, they didn't go. Verse 16, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. Invitations are sent out way ahead of time, in advance. Everybody's got their calendars marked. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, everything is now ready." So not only do you get an invitation, but then you get a personal messenger sent to you saying, "You know, he's been preparing, it's finally ready. Come to the banquet, come to the feast." Verse 18, "But they all alike began to make excuses." So you get this idea that they all alike, as in, okay, there was probably more than three, but for the length of the parable's sake, for the length of this evening's sermon's sake, there's going to be three. But all of them, all of these guests that were invited, they came up with excuses. "I've just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Sounds pretty polite. Wasn't disrespectful. Depending upon your version, it says, "Please," or "Pray that I may be excused." Sounds nice. Another says, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please, excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." I mean, you look at these and you think, well, those aren't really excuses. Those sound like pretty good reasons. I mean, the first two maybe. The third one definitely, that's a reason. So, but you get this idea then is that there's more than three. There's more than three excuses. And so the owner, the host, his servant returns, not with good news. Verse 21, "The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.'" So he goes. "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." There's still room. Verse 23, "Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full.'" Plan A, send out the invitations, go remind them. Nobody wants to come. Been preparing this for weeks and months, for a long time, and nobody wants to come. All right, plan B, let's go out into the town. Wherever, whoever will come, get them to come. Invite them. Get them here. It's all ready. It needs to be full. This place needs to be full. Sir, there aren't enough. Go out further. Go out into the countryside. Get them to come. Plead with them. If everything's ready, my house just needs to be full. And you're thinking, well, why does this house need to be full? Verse 24. He says, "I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." I wonder if he's sort of hinting here of those guests that may try, those invited guests who may try to arrive late. Do you think they're going to be welcomed very well at this banquet? His plan is to have every seat filled. There's no room. There's no room for you here. Yes, you were invited, but if you're not going to come the time that it begins, then maybe I really wasn't a priority. Maybe this banquet wasn't about showing off yourself, sitting at some honorable place. Maybe this was a much different kind of banquet. You know, come to think of it, this is a much different banquet. This is a banquet in the kingdom of God. And Jesus went out and tried to invite as many of those invited guests as you possibly could. Come to the kingdom. Come, hear the message. Hear the word. The kingdom of heaven is near. And did they receive it? No. They searched for excuse after excuse after excuse why Jesus couldn't be the Savior. This is the parable of this great banquet that God has invited all of us to. And in this, within this chapter, Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us about His kingdom. And it's not about having excuses or not having excuses, but it's about being humble. The Pharisees had become all about honor and praise from men, being repaid with invitations and exchanging invitations. I'll invite you if you invite me. They'd become so worldly in their thinking and their culture. Being humble was lost to them. Our culture is kind of a selfie culture. Self-seeking, self-pleasing culture. So how can we be humble in a culture that is so much about lifting up the individual? We humble ourselves by putting others first, by being appreciative of things that are done for you by others, by recognizing the sacrifices that are made for you, not just by Jesus, but by those around you, by those who love and care for you. Be humble. Secondly, work and store up treasure in heaven. The Pharisees had become all about honor and praise from men, storing up treasure on this earth. I'll invite you if you invite me. They'd become so worldly in their thinking and in their culture. Treasure in heaven, did they ever have that? But we could say it was lost to them. Our culture is so much get what you can, get now what you can, spend what you don't even have. So the idea of storing up treasure in heaven, how do we do that? How do we work to store up treasure in heaven? We do it by loving our neighbor, by being willing to serve, by being willing to give, providing for those who are less fortunate. Just remember, it's not about being repaid for something you do. We're doing it because we have kindness within our heart. We have compassion within our heart. And lastly, we live in response to God's invitation with no excuses. The Pharisee had become all about honor and praise from men, being repaid and repaid with invitations. I'll invite you, you invite me. They'd become so worldly in their thinking and culture that they were left with what? Nothing but excuses. Our culture is all about excuses because our lives are so busy. We can't commit to anything because we're already committed. The idea of sacrificing our time, well, all of our time is used up. All of our resources are used up. So when somebody asks to give more, something has to go. So how in the busyness of our lives and this world of excuses that fly around, how do we live in response to God's invitation? Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, make the most of the opportunities. And that's how we do it. By being a light in this world, full of love, full of care, full of kindness, We live in response to God's invitation by being the example of Christ, reflecting His love and His glory. So for you, this week, in response to this great banquet, is there an excuse that you have? Or are you accepting the invitation? Are you accepting the invitation of what Jesus is telling at this home, this Pharisee's home? Be humble. Work and store up treasure in heaven. Live in response to God's invitation. And recognize that He's given you one. And live with that with no excuse. So that when He comes, when Jesus comes again, I'm busy. Give me 10 minutes. I'm texting. We don't have excuses. We're without excuse at that point. Be humble. Work to store up treasure in heaven and live in response to God's invitation with no excuses. The kingdom is not going to be very well attended by those who were initially invited because they were full of excuses and they didn't see Jesus. Others are going to be invited until it's full. And it's our hope and our prayer that they don't take our place, that we respond to God's invitation. And if you this evening would like to respond to God's invitation, to His love, to His forgiveness, prayers of this congregation, then you have an opportunity to come and stand while we sing.